I want you to know this devotional started as three sermons that I preached twice, I think, in my life. It struck me one day when I was reading, and this is a long time ago, but it struck me one day when I was reading that there's three places where Paul is confronted with death. He could easily have died. In all three places, Paul says he's ready to go. So the title of my message, taking a little, I guess, lesson from Pastor Jay, was Ready or Not, Here I Come. And this was, you know, the Lord said this was coming, so what are you going to do? And I want to turn you to those three texts, and I deliberately do not have expansive notes because I don't want to take a long time to preach on this, because, like I said, originally was three sermons, so you can understand that these are three very significant texts. But in Acts 21, that's where we're going to start, verse 13. In Acts 21 is the end of Paul's missionary journey, his second or third? I never can get those numbers right. But he's coming back, and he's bringing the gift to Jerusalem. And he's got people traveling with him that are kind of making sure the money gets where it's supposed to go. And he's come, he's traveled all the way back. They're in Antioch? I think they're in Antioch. And they house at the house of Philip the Evangelist. And when he's there, all of a sudden there is this guy named Agabus who's a prophet, and he makes this statement. And this is, by the way, a wee section where Luke is writing this because Luke himself was there. Acts 21, verse 13. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Now, it's interesting because Judea is in the south, but it's also a higher elevation. That's why he came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus is the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him up to the hands of the Gentiles. Well, immediately you realize that's going to cause a response in all those people with him. So when we heard it, that's Luke and the other people, they heard these things that were traveling with him. Both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Now, this is always an issue where people say, well, did he make a mistake or didn't he? Because it says before, the Spirit of God appeared, said this in every place. They spoke by the Spirit, say, don't go to Jerusalem. But I don't know that that was direction from God. This is Paul's answer. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, one of the interesting discussions I had over the years with people close to me was they would take the view that Paul was going against the will of God, and I would take the opposite view. He is not going against the will of God. Don't think Paul would have willingly gone against the will of God. You see that several places in his life, not the least of which was when he's at Troas, wondering which way to go. Spirit wouldn't let him go this way or that way in Asia Minor. And then he had the dream of the Macedonian vision, and he ends up going over to Macedonia and has a great ministry over there. So I don't think Paul was going against the revealed will of God. I don't think that's the case. But he is saying, you know, I'm ready to do whatever has to do if it involves the will of God. He's able to persist in part because he was going to do what God had laid out for him to do, to travel, because he was committed to doing the Lord's will no matter the cost, the danger, or whatever happened. And he knew it was going to come. It did come. It's interesting, he wrote a letter on the way when he's coming back on that journey back to Jerusalem, back to Antioch and then to Jerusalem. And on the way, he wrote a letter to the church at Rome. That's our Roman epistle. And he told them, this is my plan. Once I deliver this stuff, I'm coming to you. And he did, but not the way he thought. He thought he was going to come free and able to do more ministry. He came as a prisoner, and that was God's will. But he was willing, even if it meant death, he was going to carry through because he is absolutely sure it was God's will. Second example, I'm really running through these fast. There's a lot more material there. Lord willing, at some point we'll come to that. Philippians 1, 19 through 24. Paul is writing. This is after he ends up going to Jerusalem. He's arrested. He ends up going to Caesarea Philippi. He's there for a while, two different what were they called? Proconsuls? Whatever they were. Guys, the Jewish governors of the land of Judea who were there, and the Jews try to get him killed, and they can't. And then finally he appeals to Rome, and so they're sending him to Rome. And this is probably written when he's in that Roman prison, Philippians 1, 19 to 24. And Paul is writing, and he makes an interesting statement because he really doesn't know yet what's going to happen. Now, the truth is, we don't absolutely know what happened. There's a great deal of thinking, and I think it's tradition, which means it's history to some extent without maybe confirmation in the scriptures, that he went to Rome. He was in prison the first time. Then he was let go. He went to the western part of the Roman Empire, to Spain, like he had planned from Rome. Then he came back and was imprisoned again, and then he died. Well, this would be his first imprisonment then. But there are epistles that are written during this time. Philippians, Colossians. Seems like there's another one. Ephesians, is that a prison epistle? But anyhow, he's writing these epistles. And yeah, you're right, because it would be a sister letter to Colossians. But Philippians he's writing, and he's talking about his attitude, not knowing what's going to happen. Now, this is what he thinks is going to happen. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation. I love this statement. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. He wants Christ to be magnified, people to see who he is through his physical body as it is now. And then he makes this great statement, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I know a lot of people say, that's my life verse. And I always say, I wish it were mine. I don't know if I can say that. He knows that for him to live, Christ is going to be proclaimed. That's what it's all about, living him. Christ is living in him. And if I die, I'm going to heaven. That's what he says. Now, I have no doubt if I die, I'm going to heaven. But there are sometimes I'm wondering if I'm always proclaiming Christ like I should. But that was Paul's goal, and I think this is key to understanding this passage, is for him to live as Christ, and if it didn't happen, he was going to gain. So he's in defeat. You can't defeat a guy like that. I mean, there's nothing you can do to hurt him. Because whatever you do, God's going to benefit. Paul's going to be rejoicing. But if I live in, and this is, I want you to get this, that's why I put all this stuff in here. Get this communication he's having, this discussion he's having. It's probably in his head, now he's having it with them. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. In other words, God will use me. I know he'll use me if I live for him. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. And it's almost like, Paul, what is your desire? What's your goal? For I am hard-pressed between these two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, you know, I really want to go home to heaven, but I think the Lord's going to keep me around because it's better for you. He's going to use me. And I think that's a wonderful statement. Paul's whole desire, whether here or there or wherever he was to serve Christ, either that or go home and be with him. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I mean, if we were placed where Paul was, what would we think? Would we have that kind of discussion going on in our head? Well, I don't know what to pray for. Should I pray the Lord take me home, or should I pray that the Lord free me so I can go be used to him? That was his point. Paul's in prison. He doesn't know how all this is going to turn out. And yet his goal above all things, and that's why he's ready if the Lord wants him right then, is to please Christ, and is that that Christ would be magnified in his body. The last one is the last time, and it's the time that he really will go home. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. It's written to Timothy. It's written to his young, his son in the faith. I don't know how old Timothy was when he wrote this letter. I mean, he was young when he started with him, but I have no idea how old he was then. I don't think it'd been that long. But Paul is writing to him and saying, this is the way it's going to be. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm going to die. That's what he's saying. And I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but all those who love his appearing. What exactly is the crown of righteousness? I don't know. There's a crown of life. There's all those things. Those crowns, by the way, are Stephanoi. They are the what do you call that thing? The little band around your head that you got for winning a race. That's what they were. And that's the kind of thing. He said, I have this that God's going to give me, and Christ is going to give me, and not to me only, but everyone who loves his appearing. So we can have crowns just like Paul's going to have. That's the point of that. But he's ready to go because he realizes he has run the race, he's finished the course, he has kept the faith, he's fought the fight, he's done everything the Lord wanted him to do. And I always think, when I think of this verse, I always think of the one in Philippians 3. I want to lay hold of that for which the Lord laid hold of me. And I think in a real sense, he was ready to go because he realized he had done that. He spent his whole life trying to please God. And now at the end of his life, he's ready to go home because he knows he has pleased God. I think that's something that God gives us in the end of our life sometimes. And I hope he does to me. That's a wonderful thing. The other thing I think you need to realize, and I always point this out when I preach on this text, is that you'd be hard-pressed to find any regrets in Paul. I have read a lot of books, a lot of biographies of people, or interviews of people that have gone through their life to come to the end of their life, and somebody will wisely say, you have any regrets? And they'll say, well, everybody has regrets. And then they'll talk about some disappointing thing in their life they didn't do. I don't think Paul had any regrets. I just got done reading a pretty depressing biography. I really enjoyed it in the beginning. It was a Bobby Fischer, who I think had some pretty severe psychological problems. But the guy starts out, and he's just searching all the time, never finds God. That's the part that really cuts my heart. Guy who's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, could do so much in the chessboard, and yet didn't really know what life was all about. Spent his whole life basically alone. Could not ever come to the place of getting along with people or understanding God or even coming to God. And I thought, what a tragedy when you put it next to a life like the Apostle Paul's. So three times he comes up to face this thing. You know, the Lord says, you know, you go to Jerusalem, you may die. They're going to bind you up. They're going to give you to the Gentiles. What's going to happen? We don't know. Paul says, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be bound. I'm ready to die, if that's what the Lord wants. Second time, he's in prison. What's going to happen, Paul? I don't know, but I know this. My goal is that whatever happens, I'm Christ be magnified in my body. Whatever happens, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And if you really ask me to pick, I can't pick. You know, I'd rather go home and be with Christ, but I think that because I have a greater necessity, you have a greater necessity, the Lord's going to keep me here, so he can produce fruit through me. I don't think that's an egotistical statement. Then the last one, he said, well, Timothy, you need to know I'm about ready to be offered. They're going to kill me. And I just know that I already got a reward waiting for me. Not for me only, but for everyone who loves his appearing, because I have done what God wanted me to do. I have succeeded in pleasing God, which I think is a key thing. So that's my five-minute devotion. I hope it was 5 minutes. Not more than that, but my devotional, because